Hey everyone, you're listening to the Product Marketing Insider podcast brought to you by the Product Marketing Alliance. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back to episode 5 of the Insider series. This week, we go behind the scenes with the product marketing team at G2, formerly G2 Crowd, the winners of the Product Marketing Team of the Year at the annual Product Marketing Awards. The G2 team is also led by Yoni Solomon, who is shortlisted this year's Leader in Product Marketing, so there's some really good insight from this episode. That's enough from me, and I'm going to leave you with Bryony and the team at G2.
So I guess if we could just start off, if you just run through for everyone listening who we're speaking to today.
Sure. I'll kick it off. My name is Yoni Solomon, and I'm Head of Product Marketing here at G2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm Aubin Cassidy, and I'm Senior Product Marketing Manager.
And then I'm Gina Tarr, and I am a Product Marketing Specialist.
Awesome. Hi.
So if we could just start off by kind of giving a bit of background and kind of what made you all want to get into product marketing in the first place?
Oh man, who wants to?
Should we do reverse order?
Why do reverse order? Let's do it. Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a windy path to get to product marketing. I didn't start in it right away. Mm-hmm. I've been at G2 since I graduated college, and I started as a customer success manager. Mm-hmm. And then when we realized we needed an implementation team, I helped to build that team out. And as I was creating more of the collateral and doing the documentation and figuring out the messaging, I realized that I liked more of the creative aspect of things. So then when the time came and there was an opening on our marketing team, I just kind of wiggled my way over into product marketing, and it was definitely a better fit for me. So I could use the creative side of my brain that I wasn't using quite so much with customer success.
Awesome.
And I started working in kind of a full funnel management role, but a lot of focus on sales execution and business development. And there was some marketing elements to that role. This was like my first job out of college. And I kept finding, like, as I was closing deals or attempting to close deals, there was so much missing. Like, I didn't have the tools that I needed. I didn't have the collateral or the support or the enablement. And so I kind of worked more and more backwards through my career, like from managing a deal and relationship management all the way back to like, okay, I want to start developing one-sheeters or things that can support the sale. And then as I was working on that, I realized like I don't even have the messaging or the foundational strategy to support that collateral. So it was kind of like a work backwards until I got to the point where I felt like I was actually able to create the foundational thoughts that supported that sale. So it's kind of been a journey to figure out how to support our sales team ultimately.
I guess so. Has that really helped you going from that journey? Because I guess now you understand the entire journey from start to finish.
I think it definitely helps me have a ton more empathy than maybe a lot of traditional marketers do for the close. Because, yeah, my philosophy is if this doesn't ultimately translate to dollars and growing our business, what we're doing as marketers doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, I think that experience definitely helps.
Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, I would say similar to these two and to probably most product marketers I talk to, I found my way into product marketing by accident as well. I started in client success at my first job out of school and really got a sense of how our tools worked from a functionality standpoint, but actually started to talk to real people about the differences that these capabilities make in their daily lives and their workflows. And I wanted to find a way to capture those stories for my company because we weren't really doing that at the time. And so I spent about 5.5 years at my first job out of school playing in pretty much every single area of marketing storytelling that you can imagine. You know, I ran PR, wrote all the content, managed content marketing, built out channel, ran demand gen, even implemented our first marketing automation platform. And I think what was great about working in all these areas was I found myself naturally living at this fun intersection of sales, product, and marketing, which you know, at the time I didn't know it, but that really is what product marketing is. And so before you knew it, I found myself running product marketing before I had a solid concept of what it really was or what it could do. So I continue to love living in between these teams to act as like a group, as a glue, right, to help product, marketing, and sales, like in sequential order, work together and align to reach their goals.
Okay, sounds good. And then how long have you three been a team for now?
Boy, I've been here 8 months. Gina's easily the longest tenured.
I've been here for four years.
Okay. And Aubin?
I started in April, so yeah. we're We're hitting the 6 month mark.
Yeah, so okay. For a product marketing, the thing that I've joked around with everyone is that like somehow, you know, with three people who had never worked together before, we came together in about 8 months and built the product marketing team of the year in like 8 months. So
it's a high standard for the future.
Yeah.
And then, so how does your team structure work? Like, how do you divide it up?
Yeah, so I think what makes G2 really interesting, and you feel free to chime in, is that it's very much a jigsaw puzzle of a product suite. There's like a ton of different business units that all live under this umbrella that we call G2, with solutions that impact technology vendors who literally put their solutions on our marketplace, right, to sell and engage with buyers. We have solutions for research and content. We essentially have a business unit that acts as like a mini analyst firm within G2. And then we even have new solutions through acquisitions that we've made that now impact CIOs and CTOs. And so there's a wide gamut of businesses that all operate under G2. And the only way for this team to sort of take all of that together and turn it into one strategy is for all of us to be aligned to a specific business unit of the G2 house.
Okay, awesome. And then before this team was formed then, so was it a case of product and marketing were quite siloed and you joined them together, or do you know how it looked like before you all came together?
Our resident historian, Gina.
So our marketing team was pretty small for a while. When I joined, it was maybe like 6 or 7 people.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty tiny, and everyone was a little more generalized, mm-hmm. And not quite so specialized into the different aspects of marketing. But then as our team grew, like now we're, what, 50,
no,
60
I think it's
people total?
Close to 70, right?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So it got a little easier to have that like focus and work with product more, but I would never say it was like fully separate. It wasn't like, you know, everyone was arguing and headbutting or things like that. It was just very much the startup thing of everyone's wearing a lot of hats and doing a lot of things. So it's just a little more organized chaos now.
Yes.
Have some more people.
Yeah. And then how would you describe your relationships with products and marketing? Do you all get on kind of well? Is there any friction and how do you kind of like how do you share the workload? So in terms of copy, would that all go to marketing or would you take some of it yourself and then pass it over at a later stage? Or
I mean, yeah, I'll speak to that. I think we've actually achieved a pretty great process interacting with not just product and sales and marketing, but like the different divisions within that. So I think G2 has done us a huge favor by staffing people who are like truly experts in their mm-hmm. field. So as product marketers, like we understand where our responsibility starts and stops, and that's understanding the need of sales, the function of product, and pulling that into some foundational messaging for us to go to market. But we all, unlike you and our copywriter, we understand that there's somebody else that's going to be way better at taking our messaging and turning that into conversions.
Yeah.
And we understand that there's going to be a sales team that's going to be way better at taking our messaging and having that conversation. And then there's a product team who understands how this product functions much better than we do. So
yep.
I think everybody at G2 really understands, like, this is what I'm great at. This is what you're great at. If we can all come together, then we can create this, like, pretty functional process. Somehow since I've come on, like, this three-person team has managed to tap all of those skills from other teams. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, our, like, launch rate is, like, literally a launch a week. So if that's not, like, a testament to our ability to, like, wash, rinse, repeat on these launches effectively, then, yeah, I've never been a part of something where people, like, truly get that.
Yeah, it's a new, not a webinar or anything like that. That's, like, a new capability, an integration, a research launch or a report or even
partnership.
Yeah.
We bought
two companies in the first like 6 months of my time here. So they're like, I would easily put our sort of launch cadence as far as new capabilities to market on pace with that. I think you'd be hard pressed to find a company in technology, especially one of this size, that launches as much as we do.
Yeah, that's real. No, before I came onto the podcast, I was expecting an auditorium full of people that I was going to be podcasting. So when I saw a preview, I was really impressed.
It's so funny because before we walked in here, I turned to Aubin and I was like, this is going to be really funny when they only see that there's three people.
Well, at first when I just saw you, Yoni, I was like, surely it's not a one-man band. I was expecting to keep going.
Small but mighty team, but I think Aubin really hit the nail on the head. It's like the things that I think we've done really well at as far as managing this process is, one, defining our go-to-market process, and especially at startups, I think sometimes process people can roll their eyes at. You know, there's this big culture at G2 around doing it live and moving quickly, and I totally understand that. But when you have a process that you can repeat, rather than inhibiting fast paces and moving quickly, it becomes like a launch pad to actually just like get things done with like ruthless efficiency time and time again. And so we've nailed the process part. And I think the handoffs, like Aubin said, between from us to, for example, our creative team, it's been like one of the most fun elements of this business, watching our foundational work get turned into magic by all the other people at G2 who do what they do best.
Awesome. Thank you. And then if there is such a thing, what does a standard day sort of look like for you all? I get the impression there isn't such a thing, but I ask it anyway.
G, you want
to
take a spin?
I feel like that's a hard question. Like I said, I came from customer success where it was a very structured thing of you had an implementation call and you had a kickoff call and you had designated things that you had to do. So coming into marketing was kind of a change for me, and I had to figure out how to like schedule my own time and like be like, okay, I need this long to work on this and this long to work on that. So with all of the different launches, it isn't really the same day to day. So that's kind of a hard one to sum up.
And I wouldn't say it's the same day to day anywhere. And that's what makes product marketing so tricky. And so like even product marketers at other companies, both in Chicago and around the country that I talk to pretty regularly, the job changes everywhere you go. And so I don't think any of us in product marketing are having an ordinary day to day at any given point. But like, you know, I think the closest I can come to it is, you know, we having to live at the intersection of sales, product, and marketing, I would say like the biggest focus of our days, each and every day, is to make sure that the capabilities that we're rolling out are aligned properly to campaigns that the marketing team wants to run that are then properly aligned to sales goals and enablement that needs to happen with those teams.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just making sure like we run air traffic control is the way I would explain my job. What do you think, Aubin?
Yeah, I think that's dead on. There's no 2 days that have the same set of meetings or the same set of conversations, but because we are launching something literally every week, I think because we have that process in place, it allows us to like manage the chaos a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because we know what's coming up next. Like any given week, I know all three of us are working on messaging for something at the beginning stage of a launch. Yep. All three of us are working with creative and with demand gen to figure out what those next steps are to go to market. And then all three of us are working on some sort of sales enablement to make sure sales can have conversations that are effective. So regardless of where we are in that process, whether it's day to day or week to week, is constantly going on a wash, rinse, repeat cycle.
And how far ahead do you plan?
It really depends. I would say, having worked in other product marketing teams, this is the most organized team I've seen, in that like we do have a launch calendar that very much is there's probably like two or three things on the team that I think are like Bible to us, right? And I think it's our message houses, right? It's our go-to-market launch plans, and it's our go-to-market calendar. And I think probably at any given point, we have like a two and a half month view. Like we're in October now, and I can't imagine that I can see anything beyond like
December. We have January.
Do we?
Yeah.
It's like 2 to 3 months.
Yeah.
Ish. But those dates will change, and there's always like there's stuff in the middle that like constantly pops up as well. So, but yeah, I think I would say like about a quarter if we're lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be the farthest that we would go out. You know, you always have the fun ones that pop up, and you got to do a little faster than others, but.
Right. I mean, the thing that I always try to remind people is that, and no, none of my friends in development or product ever want to hear this, so don't publish this, but like,
this isn't going on a podcast.
No, you can, developing and shipping product is easy. That's the easy part.
Shots fired.
It is everything that comes after as far as like properly aligning human beings who have a million things going on in their day, both internally on your sales team and externally in the market with customers and prospects, to actually understand, comprehend, and be receptive to what you're trying to communicate to them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, even with such like a fast launch cadence, like we're shipping out product better than ever before. And this is a problem I see across the entire industry where like building software used to take 3 months or longer. Now building software and rolling it out takes 3 weeks or shorter. And now AI is writing its own code. And so before you know it, it just creates this absolute like fire hose of new stuff coming at people. And so I think the most important test for like great product marketers in the next like 3 to 5 years, especially once AI like completely masters how to code itself, is going to be how do we distill all of this down into very easy to understand human stories that come out at the right rate and cadence so that people's brains can literally like take in that information and do what you need them to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want it on record though that I'm not held liable if that gets put on air and you guys. I don't control the editing.
Yeah, you can tell him I said that.
There being one guy in this group of the three of us.
And I'm really.
I love product managers. Love you all.
Awesome. Okay. So what would you say the top three skills are that have helped each of you kind of get where you are today and be successful in the role?
So I don't know that this is like a skill per se, but like product knowledge is the biggest thing for me. Coming from customer success, I think it was such a great stepping stone and launch point to go into product marketing. Because I was on the front lines of answering all of the questions that customers had. I know what they used. I know what kind of confused them. So I really, really, really knew the product well. So jumping in, even if we add new features or we have like a spin-off of one of our current products, I know our product really well so that I can just kind of take that and run with it. And it's less time where I'm sitting there and being like, okay, I don't get how this works. What do I need here? I don't know what that means. So it's like a really solid foundation, I think, helped me kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah. Gina's a rock star. I could not agree more with you. Way to go, buddy. As far as the role that I'm in, or I guess generally product marketing, I think the three skills that I find to be like critical are first organization. I think like especially when you're launching at the rate we are, if you're not leveraging your tools, if you're not keeping everything straight, writing everything down, making sure that you've got a good cadence with the stakeholders that need to be involved, you can get buried so fast. Like I know Gina's got time specifically blocked on her calendar every day to make sure that she updates her Asana, make sure she's checking her. Like if you do not have like that type A approach, this can be a really overwhelming and daunting role. Contrary to that, if you do, this can be like the most fulfilling, exciting, I checked off 20 boxes every single day job. So like this job is for that type and I really don't think it's for not that type. Also the ability to communicate clearly, like our job is messaging and our job is to translate the complicated and technical into something people can digest, understand and appreciate. Mm-hmm. And so if you can't communicate clearly that transition and how to go to market, if like you hate writing or you don't like, this role is not for that. So I think like that skill set's really important. And then third is empathy. Like Yoni was saying, like our job is to sit at the epicenter of product sales and marketing. If you can't put yourself in the shoes of the salesperson and understand the struggles that they might have on a conversation, it's going to be tough for you to articulate how to answer those challenges that get brought up. And if you can't understand like the drive of a product launch and the deadlines and the things that they need to hit off, like you're not going to really rationalize what goals they're trying to achieve. So I think being able to empathize with all of those roles, whether or not you've worked them in your lifetime, is important.
Yeah. And I've never been so proud because you guys just like hit perfectly on like the criteria. There's five pieces of criteria that I hire for whenever I'm talking to people in regards to like what makes a perfect product marketer. And they nail pretty much all of them. It's a strong foundation of product knowledge, strong understanding of marketing campaigns. So you can actually ideate how to take your messaging and bring it into the real world. You have to have a strong understanding of the sales pipeline, which means that you need to find someone with, from a skill set perspective, with equal understanding of product development and the product that you sell, of how marketing campaigns tactically are run, and three, how a sales pipeline works. And then the soft skills that you need to bring to the table are having an extremely strong written and, you know, in-person storytelling capability. And if you bring all five of those to the table, you're probably a unicorn product marketer. I think the skill that I you know, those are like the hard skills that I would normally grade on when talking to people interviewing for a role. But I think the most underrated skill that we bring to the table, and like, I don't actually think that like at a foundational level, I'm like overly talented at anything that I really do here. Mm-hmm. But what I do have is a lot of curiosity, and the best marketers that I have, especially in product marketing, have this innate curiosity to understand how different technologies work together and how different value stories impact people on their own journeys. And so I think like the most important thing that you can bring that brings all that together is just like an innate curiosity to try to figure out how things work together.
Yeah. In terms of the products at G2 then, so how do you like, do you all chip in on all products, or like do you split them between the three of you? How does that sort of work?
Yeah, we split them up, but like we also have we use Asana to manage everything, and it's been a total lifesaver. That's like, I'd say Asana is like the secret fourth member of the team. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? We manage all of our projects together. And what's nice is like, you know, Gina, for example, manages our content and the research side of the house that I was mentioning, along with what we're calling our user side, which is literally like the www.g2.com website, the marketplace. And then Aubin manages all of our solutions for our technology vendors. And so they're two somewhat different sides of the fence, but I feel like we have such a good like collaborative environment here that no one's territorial about their messaging houses or their projects. And I know that I hop in all the time and ask them to take a look at stuff that I do and vice versa. So we definitely have our areas, but I wouldn't call us territorial or siloed. I don't know.
Definitely not. I agree. I think like going back to like, how do we make this all work with other teams is the same way we make it work with the three of us. Like, I respect and trust and understand that Gina is an SME on all of the things she owns, and I know she trusts me for the same and Yoni for the same. So I think like the ability to just trust each other first and foremost, that like you know better than me from a technical standpoint. But at the same time, like I don't think any of us are better writers or better messengers or any of that. So like we're moving so quickly that it's easy to miss something. It's easy to miss a step in your go-to-market. It's easy to miss an opportunity because you're so in the weeds. So like I appreciate when sometimes Gina comes to the table with some like really unique ideas that are super outside the box on how to go to market or how to run a campaign that like I'm just so heads down that I didn't think about. So I think like, yeah, trusting each other in our skill set and our ability, and that we're all like on the same team here. There's none of like, there's not one element of competitive anything here.
Yeah. I would say we all know that like the rest of us know different things. Like I've been at G2 the longest, so I know a lot about G2 and what we've done in the past and how things have happened before, but like I'm pretty new to product marketing. Aubin and Yoni have been doing it longer, so we kind of know where the strengths and quote unquote weaknesses are, but we can always like tag each other in and be like, hey, I'm really struggling to come up with something here. Can you help with that? And someone's like, yeah. Oh, cool. I've done that before. I've tackled that issue. Here's a really good solution. So I think it works out really well.
And like something that is kind of a little benefit bonus is that I think like what we actually love and like about marketing in general, we have like our own little space. Like mm-hmm. Gina does not mind cleaning up a deck or like pulling together some sort of design, anything. Whereas like I would rather cry. And so like, so it's like all of us have, whereas I'm like, throw me the blog, give me the blog, I'll write everything. And so like all of us have our little space within product marketing or marketing in general where it's like we can do it all, we're capable of all of it, but this is like kind of where I love to be. So if you need support on that, like throw that to me. And that's like a nice to have. I don't think you should necessarily assemble teams based on like what everybody likes to do, but yeah. It does work.
I feel like you all complement each other maybe just by chance, yeah. Which sounds like a really good
exactly.
setup.
Yeah. Yeah. And all those skills that they mentioned, we all complement each other in like yeah. very specific
totally.
Ways. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Awesome. So next, if anything, what do you think needs to change about product marketing?
Ooh, like in the world?
Yeah, not GT specific, just in the industry in general.
I would say, I think having been in a product marketing role at a few different organizations, is that the places that I've seen it be the most successful is where we're trusted, mm-hmm. is where we're give like, product marketing is a relatively new role in a relatively new field that I think in the last year or two, all of tech is like, oh my gosh, we need this, mm-hmm. but they don't necessarily know what it means and how it's done. Whereas like, so they'll hire product marketers, but they're very tentative and cautious about really giving them the reins to go to market. Mm-hmm. And so like G2, we have this implicit trust from leadership. And so there's way fewer like red tape places. There's way fewer like places that we might get stuck in the queue. Like, we don't have executives reviewing our messaging. We don't, like, they trust us and they know that they hired us because we're experienced product marketers. And so I think, like, in the world, like, if you're hiring people who are product marketers, like, let them run with it. That's their area of expertise. Just like your area of expertise is running a company or your area of expertise is running a campaign. Mm-hmm. I think, like, getting comfortable with the role and letting us really do our thing, because at G2, that's why we're thriving. That's why we're launching something a week.
Okay. Awesome. I think from my end, like, I'm kind of talked about it before, at least for us for product marketing, we're a little bit of type A and we like having structure to things. So I know that for a lot of companies, product marketing, people don't know where it fits. Like, does it fall under product? Does it fall under marketing? Is it its own thing? What do they do? Like, do they is product marketing just like a collateral creation factory? Mm-hmm. So I think as product marketing becomes a bigger thing, just having a little bit more structure that more people know and understand like what product marketing is and how it works will just kind of help everyone. Cause right now it's a little bit of everyone feeling things out and not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I tend to get pretty extreme about my feelings around like the change in product marketing that needs to happen. Cause I really think we're what I would call it, like, the tail end of the age of product marketing as we know it. I actually think the entire role is going to change altogether to the point where it becomes less about the tactical products that you're launching and more about alignment. So, like, something I've played around with internally is this idea of like product marketing transitioning into something quite literally called alignment marketing, where like it kind of talks about, you know, I mentioned the bubble that we've hit before where like we are now developing and shipping product at such a fast rate that internal teams can't keep up and the market is just flooded with over communication. And then on top of that, that's only compounded by, you know, the issue that, you know, teams are constantly looking for new markets to enter without proper context. They're looking for new things to build. And as a result, we all just can't keep up. And so product marketing's role at the end of the day is going to be to achieve alignment across all the teams within an organization to make sure that we're effectively introducing new stories into the market that help people achieve their goals. And so I think the most important change for product marketing is I think it needs to become far less about the products and more about the general portfolio story or the value story of a company.
Yeah, awesome. And that kind of ties in nicely to the next question in terms of what do you think needs to be done to elevate the role and to kind of get to that next level?
Yeah, I think it comes back to trust. And this will only happen as more companies embrace product marketing within their organizations and give them more leverage to do what they need to do. But like the role of product marketing, I think, needs to be the gatekeeper of all go-to-market that a company has. And so like if you let product, for example, dictate go-to-market, I think we'd be shipping things at such a fast rate that no one would be able to keep up. Mm-hmm. If we were letting sales dictate go-to-market, I think we would only be launching at very specific times, probably not at the end of a quarter, for example, or at the end of a fiscal year. And then as a result, everyone would be launching products at exactly the same times and no one would be able to take anything in, yeah. Right? So it's our rhythm of that storytelling and really become like the chief storytelling team within a company that touches, again, like all of the internal teams, like sales, marketing, implementation, client success, and even the executive team as well, to help them tell a better elevated story of who this company is and what the value we're trying to provide is.
Yeah, awesome. So you all recently won the Product Marketing Team of the Year award. Congratulations. could you just sort of sum up what that meant to you?
Go for it.
Oh, God. You mean to start off it, all of this?
I mean, you were here before any of this, so like, plus, you know.
I mean, I think a little bit of it is just honestly the validation that what we're doing, like, people recognize that it's working really well and we're having successes with it. And, you know, we always think we're all amazing. Like, I love this team. It's my favorite team that I've ever worked with. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that's working out well and like beneficial for not only us but for the company. So yeah. It's just a little bit of that like recognition of, hey, you guys are doing a really good job. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I feel like that's kind of a simple thing, but yeah. For me,
from a personal standpoint, like, I've been at the game for quite a while, and I think working at organizations where things aren't as efficient, we aren't as trusted, I started getting in my own head on a personal level from a career standpoint. Like, do I really know what I'm doing? Is my gut right? Am I following my path? Like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Like, I really did start doing that gut check until I came to G2 and getting that reinforcement, seeing things launch on time, seeing things launch effectively, finally having that alignment. And then just getting this like third party validation as an award really like brought me back to earth and like reaffirmed that I can love something and be good at it and be successful. So I'm a words of affirmation love language gal. This was huge for me. So thanks for this award.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've said it all. When I came to G2 8 months ago, I came in a similar situation to Aubyn. I came because there was a fresh start here, and I saw it as an opportunity to work with Gina and hopefully find someone as amazing as Aubyn and build something from scratch here that wasn't here before and make it good and carve it out with the context and like the philosophy that we would want to communicate through. And so, yeah, I just think it's amazing industry validation to see that the stories that we're telling and the way that we're telling them, not only resonates with our buyers, which we know it is because we see the results, but also with like the product marketing community as well. It's a huge honor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. That's all really nice to hear. Thank you. And what would you say, since you've all been a team, has been your greatest achievement to date?
Oh man. We're not starting with me on this.
I would. yeah, I mean, honestly, you're looking at it. It's yeah. Sitting in this room with these two. It has not only been like my greatest achievement at G2, but I think it's been the greatest achievement of my career is to find such an amazing group of people to
get a well up.
And like, you know, award or no award, like I knew that we were the best product marketing team that I could ever ask for. And so I think like coming here and learning and growing and getting challenged by both of them and carving out this like product marketing philosophy that brings together like the best elements of all three of us has been like the best achievement. But the fact that we get to do it together is
Yeah, I would agree. Like, this is the most supportive team. Like, we're tiny but so supportive. And with me being newer to product marketing, only having done it for probably a year and a half or so, like Yoni and Aubyn have just been so supportive and so amazing and like giving me words of affirmation of like, you did a really good job on that thing. It's like, oh, thanks guys. Like, again, like Aubyn, I like those words of affirmation. You know, say good job, give me a high five, I'm good to go. So just like how well we've gelled as a team has been awesome.
You're making me jealous. Can I apply to join? Okay, so I guess we've kind of gone over it in bits throughout the podcast already, but is there anything in particular you'd attribute to the team success you're having at the minute?
I feel like we've touched on it in bits and pieces of like how well we gel as a team, like we just said, but also the level of trust from people outside of our team and the willingness for everyone to just kind of work together.
Yeah.
You know, with a startup, everyone's always trying to figure things out mm-hmm. as you go. And obviously, you know, we're at almost 400 people, I think, as a company, so we're not really a startup anymore. But I would say we definitely have that mentality of like everybody pitch in, help each other, work with each other, trust each other, and it's really going to win.
Yeah, it's definitely the healthiest organization and team I've ever been on by a landslide. I've worked with some absolutely incredible, brilliant colleagues before and been on teams that are really effective. But if you're not in an organization that supports that success, both like tactically and emotionally, like there's days where we're just in over our head personally, and this company and Yoni and his boss, her boss, like everybody's just really supportive of making sure that we're able to bring our best to the table every day. And if we're not, that's cool too. We're here to fill in the gaps. So yeah, I think we're successful because of the community we're a part of at G2.
Yeah. I mean, I would echo everything they said, and you know, I would use this as like the opportunity to remind everyone watching or like reading is that like great product marketing doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so we have, you know, our head of creative, our copywriter, our designers, our web developers, like we have I would consider like our creative team on the marketing team to be like our muses. You know what I mean?
Oh,
we like we give them the messaging and the guidance as well as we can, and the work that they deliver consistently is the other half of this picture that makes this work so great. And so, like, I don't think that any team, like, succeeds on their own. And so, like, Hillary, Eddie, Maya, Laura, like, we have, like, this Heather on sales enablement. Like, we have such good partners on both the marketing and the sales side, along with, of course, all of our product managers that help us do a great job here.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Penultimate question. What are your thoughts on the Product Marketing Alliance just in general?
You guys want to?
Wow, that's a very open-ended question.
I think it's awesome. I've let the team know that, like, there have always been, like, such amazing communities for demand gen, for SEO, for content, for brand. Like, every single branch of marketing you could possibly imagine has, like, a really good community where they all, like, lift each other up and encourage each other. And the fact that you guys are now building this for product marketing to help us, one, like, put product marketing on the map as a core focus, but also to, like, bring us all together, is amazing. I'm so glad someone did it, and I'm certainly glad it was you.
Awesome. And the last question, do you have any words of wisdom for kind of any of the product marketing teams that are aspiring to win this award next year?
I would say, I mean, it's a hard thing to do, but find a team that works for you and that you work well with, like Yoni was saying, even within product marketing, but also without, with our creative team, with our demand gen team, with our sales team, with our product team, with all of the teams that we work with. I think having that foundation of knowing that you can work well together and gel well together, like, you're going to have bad days. Everyone's going to have a bad day. The team might have hit a stumbling block. Not everything's going to be perfect. So knowing that you have that team to be there to help support you and, like, lift you up if you stumble over something, I think that, like I said, is a hard thing to necessarily find. And it's not the easiest to just say, like, go do it. But it's one of the most helpful things.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I applaud you, honestly.
I would encourage all of the product marketers out there we've all become very, very good at telling logic-based product stories. We have the right data, we have customers, we have case studies, and it's all, you know, like, bulleted out on pages to make sure that our brains can take in all the information. Like, tactically, we do a great job of the logic side of product marketing and talking to features and capabilities really well. But most decisions that you make, like, pretty much all decisions that your brain makes are based on emotion, and then afterwards you justify with logic. And so I think, like, finding a way to lean into the EQ side of product marketing and the emotional component and tapping into, like, the key themes in stories that we like to read in our own personal lives, right? Like, the hero's journey, pain, overcoming obstacles, and finding ways to weave those into your story so that people reading them, one, resonate with the pain that you're presenting to them, and two, can put themselves on the hero's journey to, like, get to the solution that they need with your product, I think is going to be the differentiator. There's a quote out there that says the most human company is going to win, and I wholeheartedly agree with that. As smart and as amazing as technology is going to get and AI is going to code itself, at the end of the day, the company that can tell the best human story, especially for us product marketers, will be the company that wins in their category and in general.
Yeah, that's well said. I agree.
I think
like, starting with the why, that's a story that isn't original, but literally every single thing I write or do is, like, am I answering the question, why is this important and for whom? Like, we can get so caught up in the KPIs and the numbers and the technical blah, 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 blah. None of that matters if we're not telling the story of why it's important. And that's what ultimately, like, buyers are looking to understand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that human element, starting with the why and then backing it up with the how instead of the inverse, is going to make you so much more successful as a product marketer.
Keep telling those human stories.
Okay, well, awesome, guys. That's all my questions. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for your pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's been lovely speaking to you all.
Yeah, well, have a good rest of the week, and thanks again.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, if you're still there, thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the pod, please do share it with your product marketing people. We're just starting out on our podcast journey, so we're really happy to hear any feedback that you have. If that sounded also like you'd like some time on air, just let us know and we'll put something in the diary. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you are. Bye.